All right. Roll, I mean Luke 9 or 17 verse 29. Well, actually 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and they drank and they bought and they sold and they planted and they builded. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. We've talked a lot about the humility, first of God and the Holy Spirit, and then of Christ himself. There's a part of us that wants to believe that Christ is, it's like he's doing something with us. That would be the worst thing that could ever happen to both us and to his plan. He is taking the lowest seat in us because of his humility. And that humility will end one day when he says, now will I arise. That's the end. When the garment's spotted by the flesh, you're post-toasties. The issue now is this mystery of both Son of God and Son of Man. Each of us are both a child of God and a child of evil one. We've always been a vessel for something else. We've never been an independent self. Prior to being born again, you just simply walk according to the course of this world. But born again doesn't mean you're, it means born from above. It's geneo athoten. It means that you're born from the first of the firsts, and that applies only to Christ in you. But in order for him to be born in you, you have to have reached the state of poverty. But then you have to remain in that position of poverty, of emptiness, if you will, from that time to your entire sanctification. Repenting when self becomes aware, when you start thinking about stuff, until you finally reach that point of being an empty vessel that he would fill, and then he empties to the point where there's no clear channel between you and God. But it's almost constant repentance. Repentance isn't simply again, we have this thing in repentance is the same thing as penitentiary and do penance. And it's just simply abandoning yourself. So you're gone. In the same way that Christ. He was both Son of Man and Son of God. Because of Pentecost, we are both Son of God and Son of Man, or Son of the Evil One. Anyhow, we're going to look a little bit more at Sodom. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we went to Romans 9:29, but let's go there first. Even though we went there before. Romans 9 verse 29. And this is a quote from Isaiah. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of the Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. And that's from Isaiah 1. Let's go there real quick. Start in verse 1.
Where did we go?
Isaiah 1:1. This is the first vision that Isaiah saw, and it really messed him up. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, when he saw which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Remember, he was contemporary with Hezekiah, and Hezekiah is the one that had what? The best Passover ever, because he destroyed all of the idols. Burn them, smashed them, destroyed them, as if they never existed. All the high places. All right.
Can I say something here? Kind of coming off the initial talk you made about what the gospel is all about and emptiness. And I was trying to get a fix on that picture, and it came in the form of what faith is, or the operation of faith, and your emptiness, and in relation to prayer. And the sense was, in your emptiness, there is faith. There's not doubt. There's not questions. There just is this faith that flows through you because you're not there. It's like you would say the humility of God has no restriction at that point of flesh, no filter to pass through, no thought to contend with, but the pure love of God just...
Right, it's what the world, or what we call instinct.
Yeah.
Except it's much more so.
Yeah. It's simple. It's not even a complicated issue.
It's a vine and a branch.
Yeah.
And it's a seed falling into the ground and pops a pecan tree. It's the automatic.
Yeah.
But our... And the evil one is constantly trying to resurrect it himself in you.
Yeah, and take credit.
And for that matter, I mean, again, there's a huge part of the Christian world that call themselves Christians. They've just put the name of God on their mind.
Yeah.
And I've talked many times to people who said, well, now my thoughts are sanctified. Well, where did that come from? No. Your thoughts are of the evil one. That's why the Lord's Prayer, again, it's so simple. He said, deliver us from the evil one.
Yeah.
Lead us never inward, but deliver us from the evil one. All right.
That tie into what I'm
saying here. Verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour in your presence. And it is desolate and as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Now, the place there where it says a very small remnant is a bad translation. It says the seed, except the Lord of the Sabaoth.
Yeah.
had left us a seed. Here he just quotes, except the Lord had left us a seed. We should have been as Sodom, and we would have been like unto Gomorrah. All right, now let's go to 2 Peter.
That is so picturesque in number 6, where you're like wounds, bruises, sores, putrefying, not even closed up or bound. That's not very nice.
No, then that's how he sees us. That's how he sees the human race. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 2. This is the one we talk about a lot, but because it applies to, well, we'll see. Chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The fastest growing population group in America are what's called the nuns. They have left religion. And who could blame them?
Group called the nuns?
They're called nuns, N-O-N-E, for no religion.
We talked about this in our lit group last night, trying to explore what's happened.
Well, because first of all, it's boring. Sit and put on your Sunday best and sit in a room. Anyway. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered only Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked one. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So the preparation for Lot to leave was his sickness with what he saw. Now, are we sick? Do you mourn for the world? Do you mourn for the church? If you don't see it, then you won't mourn. But if you see it clearly, there's nothing you can do but mourn. And there's nothing you can do that's more important and to show them by your life and tell them with your words that all is vanity and emptiness. If you say you love them, somebody, and don't tell them that, then you're lying. All right, Jude. Now, Jude is interesting in that somebody, either Jude did it or Peter did it, because the first chapter, I mean, the book of Jude, or the letter of Jude, sounds like it was taken almost word for word from 2 Peter. But Jude had to be included, because Jude was the brother of James, of Jesus. And here he says he's the brother of James because he wouldn't take, you know, it would be blowing his own horn if he said he was the brother of Jesus. And that's why it says Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment of that great day, of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set for as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And it goes on, and it calls them brute beasts. And the definition of a brute beast is one who makes judgments according to his senses, according to the five senses, which is interesting. All right, one more, Revelation 11. This is there are two witnesses. And there was given, in verse 11, verse 1, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out. Now, remember in the temple, there's the court of Gentiles, then there's the court of women, then there's the court of the priests, then there's the court which is only the holy place and the holy of holies. And it's an ascension. Now, that entire temple complex with all of the great altar, the brazen altar for accepting sacrifices, and the different things that are going on in those different courts, are all left out except for the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place. Now, in the Holy of Holies is the altar of showbread, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the seven candles, the menorah. Then inside the Holy of Holies is only the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat and the cherubim on top. Now, he's instructing him to leave out everything but the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Now, the word for the entire temple complex in the New Testament is Hiram. the word for only the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place is naos. Now, every time the word temple is used in the New Testament, except for when it's describing the sacrifices, and every time it's used when it's called you the temple of God, the word that's called you the temple of God is naos. It's only the holy place in the Holy of Holies. Now, that's, to me, unbelievably interesting, because with only the holy place in the Holy of Holies, none of the stuff that they're doing in Israel to try to rebuild the temple and all the Christians helping them, it's all connected with the ashes of the red heifer and finding the right priest to be able to, and sending these priests to school now and teaching them how to offer the sacrifices, and you know, all this crap that's going on. That's gone forever. I mean, they could build it again, but it won't be meaningful. The only thing that's meaningful is the temple place that's called the holy place and the Holy of Holies, which is you and I. That's the temple that you are called. You are the temple of God. Now, the problem is when it describes the evil one, the instead of Christ, it says that he shall set himself up in the temple of God. He's the man of perdition, the son of perdition, the man of sin, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Well, the word for temple there is only naos. So the evil one has set himself up in you as the temple of God. But it's not Hieron, it's not the whole thing. It's only the holy place and the Holy of Holies, and he's sitting on the throne of that temple, and his name is you. You are the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. You on your forehead is 666. You on your right hand is written 666. Because on your forehead, it's only about what you, that means how you think. You can never find rest. And on your hand, because what you think is what you do. Now, if only that were known, then about 90% of the heresy in the Christian world would be gone. But if you go around and tell people what I just said, they'll kill you and think you're doing God holy service. Now, I'm not asking you to memorize all that and to do it and to say it, but I'm asking you, I'm praying for you, I'm begging if you would simply tell everybody in your life that the vanity of all things is at hand. It's apparent to everybody. But without integrity, they'll always, you know, they're wearied in the greatness of your way. But you say, if not, there's no hope. For you found the life again of your own hand, therefore you're not grieved. But you still put the name of God in everything you're doing. But it's a sham. God doesn't care what you call the words out here. He cares what's going on in here and in here. I think I just went on another rant. Well, that wasn't really a rant.
No, it was.
Huh?
On the naos, when you look up spirit or self in the Strong's, one of that spirit is naos.
No.
Self is naos temple. One of
you, we are the temple.
No, it's
right?
It's a, yeah. We are the temple is naos. You, there's a word that's very similar to it. I think you got confused on it. I'll check it out tomorrow.
Yeah, because I've looked up spirit and I know naos.
Spirit is pneuma. And what's the other one word you said?
Self
is psyche.
What's naos?
Naos is the temple. And a word similar to it are your thoughts.
Okay.
All right? I mean,
Yeah, when
let's check it out, okay?
Yeah, it's really.
We're in a verb. Did I go to? Yeah, we're in a verb.
Because what it seems like is this attempt to recreate the temple would be a perfect setup for the Antichrist. That would be appropriate.
That well, that's man, what they're doing.
Yeah, well, that man would try and do it physically on earth as well as it's taking place in us.
Well, it's already in us. It's been in us since Pentecost. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I know. It's just, first you see that, but then this other thing you talk about.
The Hieron.
Well, the man trying to build a temple. I mean, that would be the...
That's the Hieron. They're trying Hieron. To build the Hieron, the temple complex.
Oh, okay. Hieron. I missed that.
Yeah.
That sentence, yeah.
The temple that we are called is a Naos. Which is only the holy place and the holy of holies. Now that's why our journey is finished. Everything that's necessary is complete except your repentance. And the repentance is to prove so that whatever comes at you, nothing can ever cause you to return to self. That's what sanctification is. So that you never return here for anything. You never go inward. You never go back inward for anything. No, not even to consider. Because that every time you do it, you resurrect the evil one from his deadly head wound. But it's you that resurrects him. Because he doesn't want to be gone. What?
Just thinking about that.
All right. Anyway, we're not going to read that whole thing because we're out of time now. So let's go down to...
Where are you, Revelation?
Revelation chapter 11.
You bet.
Talking about the two witnesses in verse 8, it just says, in verse 7, verse 7 it says, and they shall have finished their testimony. The beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, wherein also our Lord was crucified. So they're calling Jerusalem. It seems like, on the surface, it seems like they're calling that Jerusalem where Christ was crucified, Sodom, right? But your Jerusalem that now is this Jerusalem they're talking about. It's your mind, your high places. This is what shall be called Sodom. Now, the two witnesses are the two men that have never died. Who are the two men that have never died? Enoch and Elijah. Enoch represents wisdom. Elijah represents prophecy.
Yeah.
And both are in you, but you do everything to try to kill them. I can't say that. I can't just bubble forth what's there. I got to think about it. I'm afraid if I bubble forth what's there, I might piss off all people. They might kill me. They might shoot me. I won't have any friends. So it's both wisdom and prophecy. Prophecy is saying what's there. Wisdom is timing. And then you shall call what spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Where our Lord was crucified. Where was he crucified? You crucified him right here.
The place of the skull.
The place of the skull. Golgotha. Can anybody want to discuss this? Or everybody understand it perfectly?
Yeah, that's interesting about he's going to overcome them. I mean, the beast overcomes wisdom and prophecy.
That's sure. He's done it his whole life. He's done it your whole life.
Right. Yeah.
But they resurrect. They're resurrected. All right. That's enough to think about today.
That's interesting. Along with what Pete's saying there, it's like the hope would be that if you prophesy, you would be victorious in your prophecy and that the message would be received. But actually, the beast overcomes and kills. But in that, some here, I suppose, is implicated.
But verse 11, after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now that's what happens in you. When you begin to see and have freed wisdom and prophecy. But you are the one that killed them. You've been taught to kill them. You've been taught to be prudent. Watch what you say. Anybody, any other response? Everybody understand a little bit better about Sodom? Maybe there's a slight chance this might be you. It's called Sodom and Egypt. It's not just Sodom. It's Sodom and the world. That's why if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because it means you're loving Sodom. All right, that's enough. Everybody, I agree by your silence. I assume you agree with everything.
You might be saying by your ignorance.
Yeah, there's somewhere in the Bible there's something called you ignorant sluts. No, that wasn't in the Bible. That was on Saturday Night Live. I didn't say that. That was the evil one that was coming out. Take it, big guy.